You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. In this episode, we are continuing our journey looking at the three main characters of the irresponsibility cycle. That's the victim, the bad guy, and the rescuer. This week, Danny and Brittany are going to focus on the bad guy and talk about tough questions like, what do you do if someone's blaming or accusing you of something you didn't do? And what do you do if you're actually guilty of an offense towards somebody else? Answers to these questions and so much more coming at you in this week's episode, and it starts right now.
Well, welcome to the Kylo Show. We are here again, helping you chase after those whole healthy families.
Keep your love on.
Yeah. Having fun. We're doing all sorts of, I mean, the summer's been full already, and it's not very far into it.
We're just not very far into it.
No.
There's more heat.
I know.
There's more heat coming.
I'm normally where we are. It doesn't get as hot as it has been.
Oh, like, we're from Redding.
Right. I know that. I'm used to the 114, but when it gets to 108, I start to wonder what's wrong because it's not normally that hot where we are now. Right. So it is, it's been hot, hot, hot. All those that don't have a pool in that heat, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oof. Water. Find water.
Find water. Must find water. Yes, that's it. But that's not what we're talking about at all today. We're just rambling. But we should open up with our core key principles.
With that we keep talking about over and over and over, which we're framing all that, you know, we're going to talk about the irresponsibility cycle again today. But it starts with powerful, versus powerless.
Yep.
It's all about love versus fear, choosing love over fear. It is keeping the goal of connection. You're the only one that can do that. You've got to choose to be respectful in your communication, meaning that you're going to purposefully drive fear away with the way you choose to communicate. And boundaries. I mean, you got to have the honoring, healthy boundaries about your life. Know how and when to use them, and know how to respect them about other people.
Yep. You gave a little like tutorial as well as saying them.
Well, so I can hardly just knock them out. You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I had to like, this is what this means.
You package them so well.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about today is really kind of the bad guy in this. You know, we talked about the victim in the last two parts, so we're going to chase after the bad guy. And really, you know, the irresponsibility cycle that comes with the bad guy as well.
And this is really how you have triangulation. Mm-hmm. This is how you create the cycle in the first place, is you find a bad guy.
Yep.
As soon as you're successful in that mission, ta-da!
Here we go.
Here goes irresponsibility, a run amok.
I mean, I've sat underneath this message so many times on Kylo tours and different things like that. But when you're giving the description of the victim, help, help, and then there's the bad guy. But my favorite is, you know, when the good guy, the hero swoops in, you know, I always envision someone coming down on the cloud from above.
With big wings.
Yes. To confront the bad guy, who also is like, sometimes doesn't even know that they became the bad guy, which is part of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But sometimes they very much do know that they're the bad guy. Anyways, but I just, that illustration always gets me every single time. I'm always laughing.
It's kind of silly, a bit hilarious that when we find someone who has made a mistake, which is every human being on the planet.
Right.
We villainize them.
Yeah.
Like, what a stupid move. What a dumb thing to do is to give someone so much power that another person is powerless. Dumb.
Well, the thing for me, too, is like when you are being accused of something that you didn't do and you feel like this is that, you know, you just said it, the triangulation happens over and over again where they believe this to be true about you. And so you are now the bad guy. And you're like, how did I become the bad guy? You're the bad guy. Oh, look what we just did. We just did it again. you know, and it's just crazy to watch how this unravels and just becomes people's way of thinking, feeling, and living is through this lens of bad guys are everywhere out to get them, and we have to accuse them. So, I mean, really, it's all about, you know, blaming someone for your pain. Or what would you say there? Blaming someone for the injustice, or is it multiple different words?
Well, sometimes we're just blaming people for whatever. And other times people do make mistakes. They said something disrespectful. They were totally irresponsible right there. They meant to be hurtful. Mm. You know, whatever. You made a mistake. You totally messed that up. And so there is the I'm blaming you for how I'm acting, and that makes you a bad guy. And there's you actually did something that has caused a problem in our relationship. But the villainizing someone into being subhuman and more powerful than you, King Kong dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, this is how you make your life miserable.
Yeah. And continue to complain about it everywhere you go.
Yeah. And stay powerless.
Yep.
The bad guys are, they stay bad in the dynamic because they don't take responsibility for what they did do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you go, bad guy, and they say, I'm a victim.
Yeah.
You're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And here we go. And this, actually, there's a lot of this just in immature relationships. But as it graduates into sophistication, this is narcissism. Mm. The narcissist is setting people up to, as victims, exploiting them. When they confront, he acts like he or she acts like they're the victim.
Yeah.
And they're masters at this. So this bad guy thing, it gets confusing when there's some kind of a line somewhere where you actually are a bad guy. Wait a minute. You actually are a bad guy. Like, whoa, stop right there.
Yeah, pause.
So are you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's nobody that gets out of, I'm a bad guy.
Because we've all made mistakes.
Because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Oh, that's what that scripture tries to
say. All of us have made mistakes. All of us will continue to make mistakes. That does not inherently mean that we are bad guys.
Mm.
Unless you live in an irresponsible culture, then we are just running around pointing at everyone, you're the bad guy.
So there's kind of what happens when you're in a relationship where someone believes that they can control you and you're the victim, you know, here we are, but you're married to someone that is mean and nasty with their words.
Hmm.
So, I mean, because we're kind of talking about like you've made a mistake, you know, you said something wrong, but is that the same type of bad guy? Like, how does the bad guy ever realize or change from being the bad guy?
Well, if I'm living the five principles,
uh-huh.
that's what helps me hold up a mirror instead of hold up a gavel and judge.
Gotcha.
Because everyone fights against being judged.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like what they see in the mirror, but you can't change the mirror. So if you hold up those five principles, that's a mirror because I'm not trying to control your life.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with me, no matter what you do with you. So if you're going to be disrespectful, if you're going to be abusive, if you're going to be irresponsible, I'm just going to hold up this mirror and let you see you and allow you the opportunity to observe what I'm going to do with me. And that I don't need a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a bad guy to have a whole, healthy, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm committed to. And I was wanting to invite you into having that with me. You don't have to have one if you don't want one.
Yeah.
And apparently it looks like you don't want one. At least right now you don't want one.
Yeah. I think that, you know, when Ben and I meet with couples that are stuck in this cycle. They really want us to see the one person as the victim and one person as the bad guy.
100%.
And, you know, not to rat it out, but I feel like the average is it's the ladies bringing their husbands to tell us.
And the husband hates coming because he knows what's waiting for him.
He's waiting. But I know that when we're working with couples, it's really trying to display that, you know, they're both partnering as being victims and they're both each other's bad guys.
Yeah.
Which usually someone's shocked at this revelation that we would ever say that because they're clearly the victim. But it's really chasing out of who wants to be powerful. Like, I feel like that is Ben and I's goal in these meetings is trying to figure out which one of you wants to be powerful and what do you want to do about it? Mm-hmm. And if we can find that, and the best outcome is when they both decide to be powerful and we can get to a place where we reestablish connection and repentance and forgiveness, and it's great. That doesn't always happen. But I feel like that is that dynamic that we're normally working with is see the bad guy, now do something about this bad guy, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which Ben and I are terrible rescuers.
Yeah, yeah, and it's awesome that you're bad at that because that's what most people think a counseling session is, is that we are going to present our case to the judge and he's going to hand us a verdict and he's going to be the rescuer, she's going to be the rescuer, and pick one of us. One of us is the victim, the other one is the bad guy, and it's a bummer because it gives counsel a bad name, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I know lots of really great counselors, but I also know some people that they shouldn't have done that for a living, you know?
Yeah.
And it's what makes it tough for family members to be each other's counselors as well, because the one that feels like they're, when you're dealing with a couple, the one who's least likely to take least ready to take responsibility for themselves, they're the one who thinks you're there to rescue the other person.
Usually.
You know, you're like, oh, okay. Actually, you're just not ready to take responsibility for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're ready to do it. You got what powerful means.
Mm-hmm.
You, on the other hand, not ready to own your stuff, still in blame mode. Now you're going to blame me for being the rescuer. Mm-hmm.
Which is such a bummer with that outcome, because it's amazing how far humility will go when we can just look at, oh, I have participated in this. And that's the part that I think is so hard to get people to see, is that you have said yes to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You are not blameless, if we're pointing fingers. But.
Yeah, just the whole, the perfection of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the option of relationship with Jesus starts with, I recognize that I'm a bad guy too.
Mm-hmm.
I have sinned. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against other people. I actually do need forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And until I get to that, but I will always be pushing it away because I don't want responsibility for it. And I don't want to clean up any messes.
Yeah.
But if I will, I see the world different. Mm-hmm. As soon as I realize I can be a bad guy, then I start to have mercy. I start wanting other people to experience mercy. I want other people to experience forgiveness. But as long as I think I'm all that in a bag of chips, I think that I'm not bad and everyone else is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote here I wanted to read that's... it's a C.S. Lewis Mere Christianity quote.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still left in him. When a man is getting worse, he understands his own badness less and less.
Mm-hmm.
A moderately bad man knows he is not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he is all right. Good people know about both good and evil. Bad people do not know about either. Like, whoa.
Mm.
I thought that kind of summed up the posture of the heart is really what creates bad guys, judges people, acts like a victim, pushes responsibility away from them, and yet humble people who are ready to protect love first are more than willing to grab their share of responsibility and leave the other person's share on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to gather up mine because that was my mistake.
Yeah. It's so good. I think that's a great quote. I mean, I know that out of Ben and I, my bad guy was pretty loud. You know, and in our early stages of marriage, you know, and his victim was more loud, you know, if you were to label us. And we both had our crap to pick up and own and deal with. And I think that that's always been the turning point for the two of us, is when we both decided to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it just, it's still like this, you know, it still tries to come out, you know, it's still, there's still this thing that is easy to access if I give it permission.
Interesting to think of showing up and shutting up as both of them are bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, both of them are jacking up the anxiety. Both of them are participating in the irresponsibility cycle. And so whichever one you are, you know, like I had to learn to show up and Mom had to learn how to shut up.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, here we go. But me not showing up was as irresponsible as her trying to control everything.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, again, like you said, all of us are bad guys. None of us are free of
all them. Have sinned and fall short. Yeah.
That's it. All right. Well, we're going to jump into questions and it should be fun.
Awesome.
So looking forward to that.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Christian here, and I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk to you about Famous for Love. It's part of the Loving on Purpose ministry, and it's spearheaded by Sherry Silk. Famous for Love helps nonprofit organizations who are bringing light to the darkest places. The way we help is we use your donations to help them with leadership training, resources, and additional funding at no cost to them. It's amazing. It's essentially people helping people. That's what we love to do. So if you want to learn more about Famous for Love, you can go to lovingonpurpose.com and click give to learn more. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got questions now. Are you ready?
As we do, we create questions. Yes.
We like your questions.
We do. Thank you.
So the first one is from Alicia.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. I have a very strong personality, and I don't love confrontation, but I'm also not afraid of it. When I'm in the middle of a confrontation and someone blames me for something, my first response is always to be defensive, whether it applies to me or not. I want to manage my emotions and my reactions better in these situations. Can you give me some wisdom on how to take a step back and not get so agitated? Thank you, guys. Love what y'all are doing.
Powerful people.
Yeah, I can relate to the feeling poked at or accused of, in, because it doesn't feel good, you know, to anyone, I think. It doesn't, strong personality or not, I think it doesn't feel good. But
I think powerful people are in a, you know, there's a continuum that you're starting from. You're either starting from, you know, coming towards assertiveness from aggression, which Alicia's saying, I get aggressive when somebody feels threatening to me. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other end, which is I disappear when something's threatening to me, and I have to move towards courageously being assertive. So I think Alicia is going to benefit most if she shifts out of defending herself against threat to seeking first to understand. You know, if she can turn that contest into more of a confrontation, then there's not a winner and a loser. But as long as she stays in, there's going to be a loser here and it's not going to be me, then she can stay out of fight mode. But if she will courageously enter into, I'm going to do a great job listening. Mm-hmm. I'm going to become the best listener in the conversation. If she would make that her goal, then she would understand right along with the other person what they're really trying to say. What they're not trying to say is you're a loser. What they are trying to say is I have a need. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that she's a super compassionate person, mm-hmm. super sensitive person, which is why she probably gets triggered so fast. Is she so sensitive? But if she can... What am I going to do right there? What am I going to do? I'm going to be the best listener in this conversation.
Yeah.
And that will change the energy, mm-hmm. the dynamic, the no longer fear my counselor, love is now my counselor.
Mm-hmm. I think Ben, he often says, be a better listener than they're talking, which mm-hmm. again, I don't know if that's you or Ben, but he says it a lot lately, so I'll give him credit for the moment. But...
greatest form of flattery.
Yeah. The other thing I think of practically is like if it's an exchange where it's face-to-face, you know, or text or email, if it's one of those other forms where it's not face-to-face, I think being able to pause and not respond immediately back, I think for me is a, if I can't find that seek to understand or what do you need moment, that's where I do a better job of I don't have to respond right now because I'm not going to bring my best self. So being able to take a pause and find, you know, I need to understand or what questions can I ask that help me understand better what they're trying to say? Because if you go back and forth to this reactionary mode, you stop listening, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really where that winner loser comes in. So if there's a moment to be able to pause, you actually reread your email and like, okay, I'm trying. And then also remembering I don't have any disrespectful conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big thing for me is that I'll stay in the game as long as it feels respectful. But I can't. I'm really bad. I will tap out pretty quickly when it goes that way because it's just no fun.
You know, professional people have to do this all the time. And a lot of professional people tend to be more aggressive. You know, so like people in sales and marketing mm-hmm. and executive levels of corporations, they tend to be more aggressive fighters when there's a threat. And they've learned for money mm-hmm. what we should be able to do for love. Mm. And that is skills. Like I will learn leadership growth skills. And listening is a growth skill. So sometimes when you're so assertive and so aggressive and you so want to win, you have to realize that winning has a lot to do with successful communication mm-hmm. and connection with people.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. All right. Our next question comes from Pete.
Hello. I have two adult daughters, age 29 and 31, who are emotionally distant from me because my intensity and harshness drove them away during their teen years. This is the number one sadness in my life, and I really want closer relationships with them. Any suggestions on how I can go about winning their hearts back? Thanks.
Well, this is for Pete's sake.
Oh. I would first thing that comes to mind is, have you cleaned up your mess? Mm. You know? I mean, has there been a place to where these girls get to give the feedback of some pain that maybe you don't know what exchange that was? Sure, you're aware of intensity, different things like that. But, you know, I think our children hold on to different moments than we do as the ones that mark them for pain in a situation. And so really giving a place for that feedback. Mm-hmm. That's my first thought there.
That's good. They are able to avoid the powerless situation they could not avoid as teenagers.
Yeah.
So now they control their own safety with that space. And is there a different relationship for them to return to? Mm-hmm. Or is this just dad 2.0? Mm-hmm. You know, and my adolescence 2.0. I don't want to do my adolescence again. And I don't want my family around it either.
Yeah.
So, dad, what would you present to them to suggest we will have a different relationship going forward when we disagree, when I feel hurt, mm-hmm. when I feel scared or powerless, yeah. when I feel threatened? I will be a different person than I was back in your adolescent years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So clean up your mess, and then what has changed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what problem did you solve there, dad?
And it's not coming back.
Yeah, it's not coming back. Now, that's pretty much all dad can do. It's still now up to the girls to forgive, mm-hmm. to choose the goal of connection, to be powerful, to not protect themselves with bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the other half.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee. But what you can do, dad, is you can clean up your mess, say, I found a problem,
mm-hmm.
and here's what I've done, so that it never injures you again.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, Pete, we'll be praying for just reconciliation and shift in your relationships. All right, next question comes from Savannah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I am a single woman and don't have any children of my own, but I am in a community of people who are raising their kids in this irresponsibility cycle. The parents often look like the bad guys and the kids the victims. And then the kids become the bad guys to their siblings and to their friends. My question is twofold. First, how do I, as a friend, help the parents to get out of this cycle without becoming the rescuer in this triangulation? And also, when I have a family of my own, how do I keep from becoming the bad guy parent?
So many questions in that question.
Question in the question. Well, I think I could really easily become the labeled bad guy parent, you know, because I'm more aggressive. I'm more, have pretty well vocal needs to structure, order, what I feel is acceptable behavior. I mean, my line is pretty clear. Where Ben's, we've always talked about our tolerance levels are very different. But I think that what changes from me staying a bad guy parent is that I allow feedback from my children. And I am accountable to this covenant relationship we have, which is that I don't get to act like a jerk because I'm mad that the house is a mess, you know, or that you are being so irresponsible. But you're 12 and you're frustrating me. You know, I don't get to just lash out my feelings because I am the adult. So there's accountability that comes from our relationship. And also I would say that Ben gets to say, hey, that was too much. You know, I think you made a mess there, which I always hate. You know, I'm usually in my closet talking to myself of, mad that I did it, but also feel justified why I did it. But then I have to end with, I still have a mess to clean up because I don't want to live where my children are ever afraid of me mm-hmm. or withhold them their hearts from me because I'm scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's for me how I have to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
But
as a parent, it feels like your job to be the cop. Mm-hmm. You know, to give citations to your children for breaking the law. And then you're also the judge. You know, so when yes. they come to court, you have to decide between the children. And I think it's just a setup for that triangulation is kids believe that siblings and parents are unfair because they didn't get a favorable settlement, you know.
Yeah.
So having the children work it out between them mm-hmm. is one of the ways that you keep out of rescuer mode and you keep out of
yeah.
there's a bad guy that lives in our family
mm-hmm.
and he kind of just moves around and we all get to be one. It's like, no, everyone makes mistakes, A.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is responsible for any mess that they make.
Mm-hmm.
And connection's the goal,
yeah.
not justice.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big deception, is that somehow we're going to create justice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, heavenly justice is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did your brother feel when you said that? Well, I don't know. If you didn't do this, I wouldn't have said that. All right, well, let's get to that. But how does your brother feel when you call him that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about that? Well, why do I have to clean up? I don't know. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you think your brother felt when? And here we go. And what we are doing is we are dedicating our strength and leadership to reconciliation, repentance, reconciliation, and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
That's heaven's justice.
Mm-hmm.
Agreement on a settlement, that's not justice. That's usually some manipulated form of compromise based on what we could prove.
Yeah. You know, I think the other part of her question was talking about how do you be a friend when you're watching this happen between the parent and child dynamic
mm-hmm.
And not be the rescuer to the kid and not be a partner with the bad guy. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who has a young boy that comes to their house often. And what she watches is the parents constantly critiquing and what feels like putting down, or they just are very critical of this young boy who is the sweetest kid ever. I mean, he's so sweet. And what she's watching, my friend's watching of this young man, is that he's just kind of taking on these lies that I'm not good enough, you know, and watching him as this 12-year-old boy and what that's going to look like. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, how open are the parents to feedback on what you're seeing? She's like, I don't think any.
Probably not.
I said, okay. I said, well, that's where I would start, is what that relationship looks like. I said, and the next thing, I said, you know, the most powerful thing that you could give this young man is bringing truth that he's not a victim. And I said, I get that, you know, he's got to live in this house and be respectful and responsible. I said, and someday he'll be able to say to his dad, you know, I'll have this conversation when you're going to be respectful. I don't know that he's capable of doing it at 12 yet without a potential.
Probably wouldn't end well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But kind of changing the mindset of, you know, what is true? You know, what does the Lord say about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and training him to be accountable to the Lord, you know, like we've talked about before, and just empowering him in that place. So I think to that question, if you can lean into the relationship you have with the parent, if you don't have a good enough one or they don't really have a problem, I would be empowering the kids as best they can to remind them that they're not victims and navigate ways of how they can go and find truth to combat that.
And if you have an opportunity to teach a child the reality that it isn't really about what happens in your life as much as it is how you respond mm-hmm. to what happens in your life,
yeah.
that's going to set you up for tomorrow either as a powerful person or as a powerless person. And
yeah.
so, you know, coaching that boy through his scenarios and here's how I've dealt with it. Okay, well, what else could you do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What other ways could you respond than anger,
mm-hmm.
than bitterness, than
mm-hmm.
Anxiety and depression. What else could you do with it?
Yeah.
And begin to train that young man in reframing as much of what happens in his life as possible to set him up to have much better choices.
Yeah.
Regardless of what his mom or dad do.
Totally. Great questions. All right. We're going to move on to the testimony part.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
As you know, on The Kylo Show, we love a great testimony, especially when it's an overcomer story. I wanted to share one with you really quick. someone recently reached out and they went through a drug and rehab center 15 years ago and they're clean and sober. And the minute they became clean and sober, they realized they needed to get healthy. They were introduced to the Loving on Purpose material, Kylo, Loving Our Kids on Purpose, and the Loving on Purpose Life Academy. It changed their life. Now they want to go back to that same drug and rehab center and bring those materials to that place so others can experience the same type of breakthrough. That's what Famous for Love is all about. We partner with nonprofit organizations and equip them by providing resources, leadership training, and finances so they can bring the light of hope to the darkest places. If you want to learn more about Famous for Love, go to lovingonpurpose.com and click Give to learn more now.
Okay, so we are on to testimonies. And this one, today's testimony, comes from Jerry.
Hi, this is Jerry. I recently moved to Greenville, South Carolina from New Jersey. I wanted to give some testimonies of the impact that Kylo has had on my life and many others. For over 7 years, I taught a class at my old church called Transformed, and we used Kylo in the second half of the class. So we used the DVD, the study guide, and the book. And the impact that it had on so many people at my church was just powerful. I have countless stories of people being changed because of this book and just watching people become wide-eyed and wondering why they weren't taught these things when they were kids. Yeah. And wanting this for their children or their grandchildren. I have, so many stories. So I can give you in particular, I remember someone that had come in by the recommendation of someone else. She didn't come to our church, but she was on the verge of divorce. So someone had suggested that she take the class and she went through it. And by the end of the class, she was giving a testimony in front of our whole church with her husband there. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And her marriage is thriving and she's doing great. I've had, I had a woman that was about 75 take the class, and she was just in awe of Kylo and wished she had learned it when she was younger. But she said at the end of the class, said it doesn't matter that she's 75 years old. She's so thankful that she knows how to keep her love on now. I've had just so many relationships I've seen restored where it was people in the class that hadn't had relationship with either their children or their parents, and learning how to just love them and let their fear go and not walk out fear, but to keep their love on with their loved ones. I know in my own life, it has helped my own marriage. I'm the aggressor in the marriage and my husband is the passive aggressive one. So we have really taken the tools and have learned to just always stay connected no matter what, and that we won't shut our love off towards each other. Of course, it's a work in progress and we're always growing and learning, but we're so thankful that it really helped our marriage. We were struggling, even though I was the one leading the class, our marriage was struggling, and we have been fighting hard to keep our marriage connected, that our love would always remain, and that we won't let anything get in the way of that. And it's because of the tools that we have learned and utilized, not just to read a book and put it on the shelf and say, oh, that was good, but to actually walk these things out daily. For anybody that has ever read Kylo, I always suggest that they don't just read it once, but to read it over and over again, so that their life is changed, because these are things that the tools are tools that need to be read over and over again so that it becomes second nature, because we were just taught such wrong things growing up, the way that we were disciplined and things like that. That fear was always that base. I mean, and for my own life, it was, you know, fear your parents. So I'm thankful that I'm not going to live in fear anymore, that I'm going to leave my my love on no matter what anyone does. So I'm thankful that it's just taught good boundaries and not putting up walls. But thank you so much for all that you've done and really the impact that you've had on just my life, my husband's life, my children's lives, and countless people that have gone through my class through the years. So thank you so much for everything.
Well, that was perfect. It was testimonies.
There we go.
It was testimonies in the testimony.
It was. Good job, Jerry.
I know.
Yeah.
She's done a great job, really, kind of taking it, you know, and then activating it in another way and giving it away, really.
It is amazing how many people who pick this up and say, well, I want to help other people are also in a situation themselves trying to figure it out. And eventually, you know, if you teach this stuff, you learn it well enough to teach it, you end up changing.
Yes, you know? I hope so.
And because you hear yourself say what you're not doing.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can be a hypocrite right now, or I can adjust. Mm-hmm. And so many people on the journey of helping others are really trying to find a solution to their mm-hmm. own situation.
Yeah. I mean, I love just even her willingness and courage to kind of look back at her own marriage and be like, okay, we got to figure it out, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing a conference. I don't remember where we were, but I remember this woman of many years came up to me and just said a similar thing to me as this 75-year-old woman that was in her class of like, I wish I had this years ago, but I'm so thankful that I've learned it now,
mm-hmm.
that I don't leave this planet without knowing how to do a better job. Yeah. You know, it was just fun to hear someone's response to, you know, I hear all the time, I wish my parents would have had this, or I wish, you know, I hear that often, but to hear someone embrace like, this is when I discovered it, so I'm not going to waste it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to put it to work. Yeah. I will say, though, if you've been listening to the Kylo Show and you have not read Keep Your Love On yet, that's like a must.
Yeah, please.
Please go. Please go and read Keep Your Love On.
That and Unpunishable.
Yeah.
And Loving Our Kids On Purpose.
All the other ones.
Well, those three for sure. Those are entry level.
We need a starter pack.
Learnings. Yes, maybe we should put that together.
Put a starter pack for those interested in our stuff. But I mean, I think with Keep Your Love On, the testimonies that Jerry's sharing and that I've heard is that they range. It's not someone that's been married for 15 years, 30 years. It's not someone that, you know, it's everything from someone that's single, never been married, just trying to figure out how to do relationships well, from mm-hmm. their peers mm-hmm. to their employer to a potential, you know, girlfriend or husband someday, you know, to the 75-year-olds that have read endless books, endless conferences, and, you know,
endless life experience.
Yeah. Or even have like a successful family that they are connected, but they see the value in these tools. Like, it's just so fun to see how Keep Your Love On has really been this. It's like universal tools, you know, that has like pliers and has a knife and a saw. Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. It really, you could apply this to so many different areas. You know, I know in teaching parenting, I've taken so much from Keep Your Love On and activated that within how we do parenting, because mm-hmm. it's just crucial elements for sure.
Well, this whole segment has been about finding a bad guy mm-hmm. and being an irresponsibility cycle host.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, when Jesus, he says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, if you bring your gift to the altar and you know that you have a problem with a brother or sister,
mm-hmm.
leave your gift. Don't come in and act like you're just this free worshiper that's got no problems, because you got a pretty big problem. You got a problem with a brother or sister. Go to them
mm-hmm.
and work it out. do what you can to work it out. And I this feels like such an impossible assignment. And we classically say, well, if they want to work it out, they can come to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Jesus says, go to them.
Yeah.
Take the initiative. Keep your love on. Be powerful.
Yeah.
Choose love over fear.
That's it.
Make the goal connection. Be an assertive communicator, mm-hmm. you know, basically. Be respectful. Chase fear away. And the whole time you know that this person only has access to more intimacy on how they handle what you've done, what you've presented mm-hmm. them. So it doesn't mean that you were wrong, doesn't mean that they're the winner, mm-hmm. doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean any of that. All it means is that you are obeying the Lord, and here comes the grace. Mm-hmm. Here comes what you need to walk away from that situation with, Lord, I did what you said. I went, and it didn't go. They don't want a relationship with me. They don't want to forgive me. Mm-hmm. But I forgive them,
yeah,
and I love them. And he says, now, what I was hoping to accomplish in your heart, that's what happened, okay? Good job. Way to go. What'd you get me? Bring me the gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing what freedom you find from forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that, you know, again, releasing the potential bad guy in that moment, like we referenced, I think a couple weeks ago, just on my exchange I had with that officer or whatever on the freeway. And, you know, like that's the moment where leading my children in forgiveness of a situation that was not fun, you know, because mm-hmm. none of us want, I don't want to be a victim to this. And I don't want my children to feel like a victim. And I don't want them ever to have a bad guy from this, you know? And I think that that's the part where you get to say, you're free. Like, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't get to live with me. You know, it doesn't get to have a hold on me. It doesn't get to define another moment with someone else because of this, you know? And I think that that's what, you know, I social media is just crazy on such lacking of accountability to anything or even authenticity of like, you would never say that to someone's face, you know, the things that happen. And it just feels like it is a suck of a trap to partner with making a bunch of bad guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just walking around.
So that people could be victims.
Yeah.
And other people can feel heroic in mm-hmm. other people's lives.
Yeah.
Because they feel so out of control of their own lives.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've said this so many times, I feel like it'll keep coming up, but becoming a powerful person and that responsibility is really the best form of activating a different path out of being the victim, bad guy.
Mm-hmm. So once again, mm-hmm. all it takes to get sucked into that irresponsibility cycle is find a bad guy.
Yep.
Once you make that mistake, you're in so much trouble. Yep. So beware. People make mistakes. They yeah. do.
Mm-hmm.
So do you.
Right.
They need as much mercy as you do. Mm-hmm. So whether it's social media or your family or your workplace or wherever it is that it is so easy to point to that one or that group or that whoever as the bad guy, just give it a hard no. Sorry. Don't play. I don't play that game.
Yeah.
Okay, they've made a mistake and they've injured me. I'll be talking to them,
mm-hmm.
that person.
Right.
It's so impossible to assign responsibility to a group or a mob of people.
Yeah.
That's not a relationship. I don't have a relationship with a group.
Yeah.
I don't have a relationship with a mob. Maybe there's a person in that particular group of people I do, that's the person I tend to the relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting tricked into believing that we can have a relationship with a collection of super unique individuals
yeah.
by calling them a this or that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's just a deception, and it's a way to avoid responsibility for the person mm-hmm. that you do have the problem with.
Yeah. I think of the Staples easy button, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the no button, mm-hmm. like no, I'm not going to be a victim today.
Hard pass.
No bad guys for me.
No bad guys.
If you need to, just put no on your phone backdrop or a sticky note in your car. No, just don't do it. All right.
Okay.
No bad guys.
No bad guys. Just say no to bad guys.
That's not going to help you be a healthy family, changing the world.
Yep.
No bad guys. All right. Well, thanks for joining us so much this time, and we will see you next time on The Kylo Show.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about how the victim and the rescuer can shift in responsibility towards the bad guy. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show was produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Sherry Silk, and Anna Hill. Sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.